chapter number 5. And now what you have, I think, is an incomplete set of notes. I'm not sure. We're kind of working on these, revising them. And so maybe some of the scriptures are missing on the headings. And we're up to, you should have a sheet that says the draught of fishes. Is that correct? All right, so you can write down on your notes Luke 5, verses 1 through 11, if that's not on there. Luke 5, verses 1 through 11. And also, the Synoptic Gospels, the same story is found in Matthew 4, 18 through 21. Matthew 4, 18 through 21, and Mark 1, 16 through 20. And these texts contain some pretty famous verses. And let's look at the draught of fishes. This is event number J. That's about the 10th event now that we're studying in the first year of Christ's public ministry. The first year, remember, he had 3 complete years of public ministry on earth and a little bit before that, and of course a little bit after. And those were all divided by a feast called the Passover. So we're going from the first Passover of his ministry to the second, and then the second to the third would be his second year, the third to the fourth would be his third year of public ministry. We're in the very first year of his public ministry on earth when we have this event called the draught of the fishes. Let's read it in Luke chapter 5, and for our church here in New York, this is kind of a really fitting, just happens to be good timing, because it is a story about fishing and an analogy about fishing for men, soul winning. And we're, of course, there is no season for trying to fish for men, win people to Christ. We should be trying to do it at all times. But as you know, here in New York, we have some special opportunities, at least our church does, with about 21 festivals in and around the Buffalo area on Saturdays. And then, of course, right now we're currently at the Dunkirk Fair. We have a tent out there, and a couple weeks we'll be at the Hamburg Fair for 12 days. We have a booth in the Ag Center. And so that's about 20 days right there of soul-winning opportunities. And we have Daily Vacation Bible School. And we have a float in the parade where we pass out thousands of tracts at the Eden Corn Festival parade to people. And these are what I call nets in the water. Nets in the water. And if you're wondering what that means, let's read the story and maybe you'll catch it here. In verse 1 it says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw 2 ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's," now that's the same name as Peter, "and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered, said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to the land, they forsook all and followed him. So we notice by the statement here in verse 10 that the Lord uses this entire experience, this fishing experience, to teach them a spiritual analogy, a spiritual metaphor, and that is we are doing the same thing with men. And so in this story, if we could kind of spiritualize it for a little while, we'll see some things that pertain unto us In our day and age, as fishermen, we already saw earlier, or I'm sorry, no, we didn't. We will see in Mark chapter 4 and Mark chapter 1 the statements that Jesus made. Now, he doesn't say it in Luke's account here, but in Matthew's account and Mark's account of this same story, he makes a famous statement at the end. He says this, "Follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." And so he uses this as a metaphor, if you will, this story, this event of them literally fishing, and he applies it to a spiritual application of us fishing for men. And much of the philosophy of our church here in Eden is based on this story, as we'll see here in a moment. I think every church should have some philosophy and our methods based on some of what we learned in the story. So let's go through it tonight, and then maybe we'll go on to some other stories if time permits. It says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him," verse 1, "to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret." Now, Gennesaret is the same as the Sea of Tiberias or the Sea of Galilee. Sometimes it's called a sea, sometimes it's called a lake. It's about 7 miles wide, 13 miles long. This is the same lake that, of course, Peter had walked on later in this history, and Jesus had walked on the water and so on, and my wife and I were able to take a boat ride across this lake when we were in Israel a couple years ago, and it was as flat as a pancake. And we were happy about that because it's usually not that way. And it says the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God as he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And so he's got his back up to the lake, and there's just people mobbing him. And it says he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. Here we see two empty ships by the sea, and Jesus decides to command one of these ships, and both of them actually for an illustration to us of how we need to fish for men. But first, there needs to be a time of instruction. It says the fishermen were gone out of them washing their nets. And we know for a fact that Simon Peter owned one of them. And later in the story, we learned that James and John, who were partners in the fishing business with Peter and Andrew, owned the other one. And Jesus commandeers one just to shove off from the shore a little bit so that he could teach the people out of the boat. But I want you to notice a statement here, and if we can make an application. It says, "But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets." You know, I think that represents a lot of churches nowadays and a lot of people nowadays. They're not in the ships. They're not fishing. They're not gaining any fish. They're just washing their nets, making their nets look really pretty, making their nets look really clean. And the nets are not being used for the purpose that they were made. And, you know, there's I think, just a failure in churches today to have a soul-winning attitude, and that of letting their nets down into the water. We're going to see that later, where Jesus says, "Launch out in the deep and let down your nets for a draw," or that is, for a large school of fishes. And, I you know, it seems to me like sometimes there's people who are constantly learning about soul winning, constantly struggling over what repentance means, what faith means, and wanting to make sure they get it all right, and making sure they got their presentation down. And they go from soul winning seminar to soul winning seminar to soul winning seminar to soul winning seminar to soul winning seminar, and they get stirred up, and it's kind of like they're forever washing their nets, but never dropping them in the water. Never dropping them in the water and using them for their intended purpose. I hope you're not like that. I hope you've got some nets in the water. Keep your line in the water. Did you just write a book? Okay, I think you just wrote a book, something like that. Keep your line in the water, right? And he's written some great books on soul winning. And of course, Brother Roger has just been a real inspiration to all of us all of these years of personal evangelism. Keep Your Line in the Water is his latest book. I don't know if you've got them with you or not, if they're printed up or It's in the final proofing right now. And so we see here a lack of industry in verse number 2, a lack of effort, and they're just washing their nets. I don't understand much about fishing. I don't know what the purpose of washing your nets would be. I suppose there's some purpose to it, but maybe they have the prettiest nets in town or something. And boy, we're not getting the nets into the water as the body of Christ, and I'm talking about churches in general. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, verse 3, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And so they had just backed him up to the water, and so now he gets in the water, he goes out just a little bit, sits down, and I think with that booming voice that Christ probably had, he began to teach them out of the ship, and we don't know, and we don't have any idea at this time what he taught them. But when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And there needs to be a time where we apply the teaching. I got a feeling that the Lord taught about fishing or something, taught about catching souls, taught about fishing for men. Because in verse 3, he teaches, and then in verse 4, he seems to say, okay, now that we've learned, let's go out and do it. Let's go out and do it. Launch out into the deep. Notice that effort is demanded. There has to be a human effort. There has to be a physical effort. You have to launch out in the deep. He says, let down your nets for a draw. And they are to go out and to get a draw. And notice here, the word draw, it's used a couple times in the story. It means a big catch or a big school of fish. Now, Simon answers in verse 5 and says, Master, we have toiled all the night. And sometimes fishermen do that. I know if you go over to Chadwick Bay, sometimes you'll see the ships go out there at night in Dunkirk, and they're out fishing at night in Lake Erie when the lake is calm enough. And again, I don't know that much about fishing, but there's a reason for it. And they catch a lot of fish at night with their nets still to this day. So Simon, who is the expert, right? He's the expert. He's been fishing all of his life. He's the professional fisherman. And the Lord's just kind of come on the scene in his life just a couple months earlier. He met the Lord. And now he says, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Now, he takes God at his word. That's good. It's good to take God at his word. That's faith. Remember last week when we studied the life of Christ, we just studied about the man there, the nobleman in Capernaum, right, who took Christ at his word. And the Lord said to him, thy son liveth, even though he was 20 miles away from his son. He just believed the Lord at his word. That's faith. He found out his son was healed. And as he began to journey home, his servants met him halfway, maybe after 10 miles of walking. And they said, it's all right, your son's okay. And he asked them and said, when did my son begin to amend? And they said, about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And the nobleman knew that that was when the Lord had spoke his word and said, your son lives. And Peter was there. He had observed the power of the Lord's word. And so now Peter acts upon the Lord's word, and that's good. We ought to act upon the Lord's word. And he says, nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. Now, much is made, and I think it should be, about the fact that nets is in the plural in verse 4 and in the singular in verse 5. And so even though Peter obeys, it is just a partial obedience. And he lets down one net. Peter admits that his labor has been fruitless up until this point. And you and I can become professional know-it-alls in regards to soul winning and yet still live fruitless lives. And the sad thing is, for those of you that do try to win souls to Christ, you know as well as I do about how many people will criticize you for your efforts. And when you look at them, they're not even trying. They know all about how to do it, what to say, what not to say, and so on, but they never try, but you're out there trying. And That's too bad that it's like that. They never let down the net themselves, but they'll criticize and they'll say, well, where are all those people that got saved? And, where's all that fruit? And how come they're not in the church? And so on and so forth. And if you really look at your life, my life, I remember when I got saved. I got saved because my dad took me to church as a boy growing up, and I heard the gospel, trusted Christ as my Savior. I was about 12, 13, right around there. But after I got saved, my dad kept going back to church, and he kept taking us, and as a result, we kept getting discipled through the Sunday school programs and other programs, kept growing in the Lord. Many people have not had that privilege. They've not had anyone follow up on them. They've not had anybody. Sometimes we follow up on the cards from the Dunkirk Fair, and we go to the homes of some of these people that have accepted the Lord, or we get them to other pastors and churches to go see them if they're out of our area. And so often when they get to those homes, many of them are young people. About 85% of them are usually teenagers. They've come to know the Lord at our fair, and they get to the home, and what do they find out? That the family is already a part of some other religion, and they do not allow their children to come into a Bible-believing church and so on and so forth. And a lot of the discipleship just kind of ends right there. And sometimes later in life, things are sparked. My wife was saved on a Tuesday night in a Pioneer Girls Club that her church had, which, by the way, is a picture of a net in the water. And they caught her. She got saved. But she was never a disciple. 11 years later, just on her own, the Holy Spirit prompted her to go to church on a Sunday. 11 years, there was just dormancy in her life because there was no follow-up and no growth. And she began to grow. I was talking to a young lady at the fair last night, and I was getting into the gospel with her, and she came to the front there and was looking at the display and everything, And I went through the gospel with her, and she said, well, I've already done that. I've already accepted Christ as my Savior. And I said, well, that's wonderful. Tell me about it. I always ask people, tell me about it. Where was it? What were the events? She says, it was right here last year. Right here last year. And she said, that's the guy over there. She pointed to Pastor Seth. That's the guy over there that told me. And I said, well, I said, I hope that you can, keep in the Word and read the Word and grow in the Lord, and maybe you could find yourself a good Bible-believing church. He says, well, I've been going to the Independent Baptist Church in Irving, and she's been growing in the Lord there, and she found, in her case, she found a church, and she's been able to go, and so some of those really turn out well, and others are not able to be followed up on, and sometimes it's no fault of our own, but the Lord knows them that are His, and He knows where they are. And we need to pray for them. And so, it says here, they let down their net. Now, he let down his net. He had a kind of a limited obedience. He probably, I'm not saying that he was a wise guy or anything, but Peter probably thought, man, we are tired. We have been out all night long. Some of you work the night shifts. You know how it is in the morning. You just want to go to bed. And Peter says, well, I've seen his word work before, but let's just put one net down in the water. And it says in verse 6, and when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net break. They enclosed a great multitude of fishes. And isn't that a wonderful thing right there? 3 years later, they're going to have another story about the same thing, where the Lord, they're going to be out in the ship, and they're going to toil and take nothing. And the Lord's going to say, well, put your net on the other side of the ship. And they're going to obey again and just about drown themselves as the ships begin to sink because they catch so many fish. Now, when you think about it, what side of the what does it matter what side of the ship you throw your net out on? But what mattered was they obeyed the Lord. They obeyed the Lord. And what matters for us is we just need to get out there and obey the Lord and just go out at His word and don't fear, don't be afraid. We had a wonderful time at the fair last night. We saw people come into the tent and accept the Lord as their Savior. Multitudes just walked by, had no use for us. Some didn't take tracks. Some passed by on the other side. Others took tracks and thanked us profusely for them. But a few people actually came in and accepted the Lord. Jesus said the harvest is plenteous, But somebody just needs to go out there and kind of stand in the way of those people and drop a net. So the Lord says, let down your nets. And so the philosophy of every church and ours needs to be that everything should be a net. We go to the nursing home tomorrow. What are we doing? Dropping a net. And there's going to be some people there that will come. And they get all the residents, almost all the residents from that nursing home, hear the gospel once a month. And some of them trust Christ as their Savior. It's a net. We go to the prisons on Tuesday nights. What is it? We're dropping a net. And sometimes we've had prisoners accept the Lord as their Savior. We go to Hopevale on Monday into the Union Free School. And we have some of the most troubled girls in Western New York come. And I've received the name of four of those girls in the last 3 weeks who've accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. And we're so glad for them. And see, that's a net we drop in the water on Monday. And then Saturdays when Pastor Seth goes out to the festivals and takes adults and teens with him, that's a net in the water. And the men's soul-winning program, the ladies' soul-winning program, the bus visitation. And next week we drop a big net in the water called Daily Vacation Bible School. And just like last year, I'm sure we're going to have children come in from other churches that will not be allowed to come back to our church because they have their own religion, their own church, and so on and so forth. But just like last year, I'm sure if we pray, we're going to see some of these children accept the Lord as their Savior. And everything we do, we have seniors fellowship dinner once a month around here. Just everything, every Sunday school class should be a net in the water. Every children's church should be a net in the water. Every church service should be a net in the water. as the Lord said, let down your nets, plural. Put a whole bunch of nets down everywhere you can. I went out to dinner with James Gardner. He took me out to lunch last week, and he's the one who started Amazing Grace Missions probably 35, 40 years ago. I don't know how many years ago it was. And I know he said he's going to Indiana State Fair, I think he said, for the 40th or 41st time consecutive year this year. And now that little ministry that just started in his heart, he had a little vision, that one man, and the vision has expanded. And now Amazing Grace Missions is in all 50 states, in state fairs, county fairs, and festivals, and flea markets, and so on and so forth. Now he's got a vision. He wants to go to the 25 largest cities of the world, all the festivals, and more people are joining that. And all of these are nets in the water, all of them. I don't know of a fair. I've never heard a report from any fair where they went and set up a tent and set up a booth where no one was saved. Never heard of one. I mean, sometimes you read maybe 20 are saved, 30 or 40, some of the smaller fairs, but praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for those souls that are saved. Because people are letting, even in 2008, when people let down the net, and let down the nets, they catch fish. Catch fish. And you got caught some one day. Amen. I did too. I just went to a church service with like a big net. And somebody let down the net, kept the church open for 125 years before I walked in. And that day I heard the gospel, and the preacher was preaching out of John 10, verse 9, where Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And the Lord saved me that day. But we've got to launch out into the deep. There comes a time where you have got to launch out by faith. I've got to launch out by faith and just go believing. And if something doesn't happen, listen, this is very important, what I'm about ready to say about witnessing and soul winning it. If something doesn't happen or you seem to be rejected or people won't take tracks or people don't listen or you spend a shift at the fair and no one gets saved or something, it's okay to be broken in heart, but don't ever get broken in spirit. It's okay to have your heart broke, but don't ever let your spirit be broke. Don't ever get to the place where you say, well, I quit. It didn't work for me. Because if you will go, and if you will go, and if you will go, and if you will go, eventually you'll catch some fish. Eventually you will. Jesus prayed for you. Look over at John chapter number 17. Jesus prayed for you. Jesus prayed for me. And I want you to notice in verse 20, this is a verse that I claim, and I'm not the world's greatest soul winner, but there's been many, many times this year where I've been able to lead some people to the Lord. And one of the things that helps me is to know that Jesus, before I go out, to know that Jesus has prayed for our success. Look at John 17 and verse 20. Jesus is praying here. Notice what he prays. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me. Say the next three words with me. Ready? Through their word. Jesus has already prayed that people would believe on him through their word. Now, if you got the Lord praying for you, that ought to give us some faith. That ought to just say, hey, if I can get to where I share the word with somebody, the Lord's already prayed that people will believe on him through my word. Through my word. Praise the Lord. And when they had done this, verse 6, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net break, and they beckoned unto their partners. This is like us saying, hey, Independent Baptist Church, we need your help down in Dunkirk. Hey, Center Road Baptist Church, we need your help up in Hamburg. Hey, Old Time Baptist Church, we need your help up in Hamburg. And we can't do this alone. We've got to have some help out here in the harvest field. When they had beckoned to their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them, and they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. This is amazing. This is after toiling all night as a picture of a human being trying to toil in his own flesh and being fruitless. Finally, in obedience to Christ's word. Well, let's do it the Lord's way this time. Let's see what happens. See, we are laborers together with God. We are laborers together with God. Do not be afraid to try to be a witness for the Lord. The Lord is going to work with you. He's not going to desert you. He's not going to leave you behind. The Lord is going to use you. And anyone who really places themselves out there and goes to the fair or goes out on visitation or something, eventually they see the Lord use them. Eventually God uses them. We're laborers together with God. And the ships begin to sink. Now Peter gets overwhelmed by this. Verse 8, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, O Lord. I'm sorry, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. You know, the goodness of God should lead us to repentance. And when God uses us, I hope it will humble us, not make us proud. When God uses you, and God's going to use you to witness, to bring other people to the knowledge of Christ, do not get proud about it. Be humble about it. Peter, I think, is just being honest here. I think... And we studied Peter a little bit recently, last Sunday morning in the sermon, out of 2 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4, where I went back into the writings of Peter and showed that he was a man who had some problems with sin. He talked many times about his problems with lust and lasciviousness and revelings and banquetings, and talked about his past life. And then he got saved, and he said, I'm not going to fashion myself anymore after the former lusts of my life, but I'm going to do the will of God. And he described himself as a man of like passions as every other man. And he probably felt really sinful, but I want you to notice here something, that you don't have to be perfect for God to use you. You just have to be available. Sometimes people think, I'm just not good enough yet. Or boy, if I could just get over this sin or this temptation or this habit or this addiction or something like that, I'm going to really, really, really clean myself up and then I'm going to start serving the Lord. No, no. Remember, we already studied the story about the woman at the well. She didn't clean herself up. She just said, man, I want you men in the city of Samaria to come see a man that told me all things that ever I did is not this the Christ. And says, many believed for the saying of the woman. And what do we know about the woman? She had had five husbands, and she was living with a man. She wasn't even married. Now, she might not be allowed in churches like ours nowadays, because we might think we're too good for her or something. I don't know. But the Lord used her. The Lord used her. You don't have to wait until you're perfectly sanctified before you can be used by God, or you'll just never do anything. And so the Lord used the woman at the well. And the Lord used Peter here, even though Peter disregarded himself as a sinful man and said, I'm unworthy of this miracle. Lord, just depart from me. Go find someone else that might be worthy. And the Lord didn't put up with that nonsense. He said rather to Simon in verse 10, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Now you and I can try to tell the Lord like Moses did, you know, Lord, you got the wrong man. You better find someone else. I can't speak, you know, all the excuses. I'm too sinful. I have too bad of a past. I've been too shady of a woman, too shady of a man. You can use all the excuses you want, but the Lord's not going to buy it. He saved us to serve. He saved us to use us. And it doesn't matter what your past is. You can feel as bad as Peter did right here and just think, I'm so sinful, why would God use me? But he will. He will. And so the Lord doesn't buy his excuses, just like the Lord didn't buy Moses' excuses. Anyone else that made excuses? Remember Gideon? He was so full of fear, and the Lord came to him while he was threshing their wheat in the so he wouldn't be seen by the Midianites. He was threshing wheat at night and everything, and the Lord said, the Lord's with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And boy, we humanly looked at him and said, what a coward. But the Lord saw his potential, not his current state. And the same thing with you tonight. You might think, I'm too sinful. Why would God use me? Just place yourself in a position where God can use you. And he will. And by the way, that'll help you overcome your sinfulness. When God starts using you and you start reaching souls and you start ministering to people in ministries and so on and so forth, and all of a sudden it dawns on you, you know, God does need me. God does want to use me. And maybe if I overcome this or overcome this, I'll have more power. I'll have more strength. And you see the need for sanctification in your own life so God can use you in a greater way. It says, for he was astonished, verse 9, and all that were with him at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. Now, you know, we haven't, you know, even scratched our potential. What God could do in Faith Bible Baptist Church. I think the Lord wants to astonish us. Can you imagine if all of us, by faith, launched out into the deep of our life, let down nets, and tried to win souls to Christ? All of us, can you imagine what would happen? I think it would astonish us what God really wants to do here in Eden, in this church. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. I'm trying to use this illustration, Peter, of fish to show you that you're going to catch men. Just don't fear. Fear not. Fear not, Peter. And that's usually the biggest obstacle right there to winning souls. I think it's the biggest obstacle in my life, or has been. But I've tried to learn to don't be stopped by fear, but work on through fear. And eventually, the Lord, you get such a broken heart for people and a love for people that perfect love will cast out fear. And boy, I was just out working with Pastor Seth yesterday, Chris Barron, and you can just see their love for people. And they're very, very aggressive. They're not obnoxious, but they're aggressive. Yeah, you can watch Brother Jim Olson out there, and you can see his love for people. And the more love for people, the less fear people have. And you know, it's been my experience that a lot of times, and I'm not just talking about the Hamburg Fair or the Dunkirk Fair or anything, but any effort, usually for the first 5 minutes, you're kind of racked with fear or something, but then it just, you just get with it, and it gets exciting. And when you leave, you say, man, I want to go back and do that again. Because you see God use you. You see God use you. And God wants to use you tonight. But he says, fear not, and that's the main thing. The only way I know to overcome fear is well, three ways. Number one, be filled with the Holy Spirit. It says they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they spake the word with boldness. Number one, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Number two, know what you're saying. To know what you're saying can give you confidence, and that's what boldness is. It's the same word. So be filled with the Spirit. Know what you're saying, and then pray for love. Perfect love casteth out all fear, John said. But even if you have fear, just do it anyway. Place yourself available to God, and if you're afraid to talk to people, just do it anyways, and you're going to see God use you, and you're gonna cross paths with somebody that's just been dying to meet you so that they could hear what you know. You're going to say, man, I'm glad I did this. And when they had brought their ships to the land, they forsook all and followed him. I guess we'll stop there tonight. They forsook all and followed them. Now, a couple months earlier, they had met Christ in John 1. Remember that? And they were fishing. Remember that? That's when God, they met Christ. They came to salvation. Andrew came first. Then he found his brother Simon. And there was Nathaniel and Philip and James and John, and so we know the names of six of the disciples, so on and so forth. So a couple months earlier, they met Christ, and then it's just a couple months later, and he commissions them to be fishers of men. And we didn't look at Matthew 4, and we didn't look at Mark 1, but those parallel stories with this story, Luke 5, the same story, he said those famous words, follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And so, I know it's a subject that sometimes paralyzes people in fear, but it shouldn't be. It can be one of the most exciting things in your life that you're ready to discover, and that is how to be a personal soul winner, how to be a witness. Don't make any excuses. Don't think I'm too sinful. Don't let fear stop you. All these stories are... Just go out and let down your nets. And our church needs to let down our nets. And every one of you that are in ministries, look at your ministry as a net in the water to catch some fish. Catch someone in your Sunday school class, in your junior church, on your bus route, in your kids' clubs, in your Baptist Boys Battalion, in Gracious Girls, in the nursing home, in the prisons, in Hopevale, and at the festivals, and at the fairs, and in the church services, and so on. They're all nets. But we need to launch out into the deep. You just need to get out there way out by faith and just say, I'm going to do this. And so God will use you. I saw God use people last night. I see the cards. I don't know about 60 cards already in just a couple of days out at the fair, which means what? There's people wanting to hear. You got to sort and sift through a lot of them, but there's people who want to hear. And Jesus said, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. I want to encourage you to be a laborer. All right, let's pray. Our Father, we thank you tonight for this evening. We thank you for your word. Help us. Lord, we only got through one story in your life. We're studying your life so we can make personal application. Lord, we're laying out all the events of your life, and here's one where we can make personal application. Oh, God, even give us more ways to let down nets. The people who write letters, the letter writers, the messages in the penny saver, the tracts we print up and send all over the world, all these are nets in the water. Lord, let our church catch many fish, all the missionaries we support, about 80 missionaries a month. Lord, we even pray for more funds to help more missionaries, because as they go out, and Lord, we're supporting missionaries in every time zone of the world. As they go out, they're catching fish. I heard yesterday, Lord, at camp, among those 250 teenagers, that some have already this week come to know Christ as their Savior because of that net called camp. Thank you, Lord. Help us to get this philosophy in our minds and do everything we can to everything that's right, every possible way, every creative way possible, try to catch some more fish. But Lord, help us to do it personally also. Please, Lord, stir somebody, stir many tonight to be laborers in this area. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.